The Heat were taking on the Bucks for the second time in 3 days, and just like last time, it was Gabe Vincent leading the way to a Miami win with Victor Oladipo coming up big late in the game. We break down Oladipo's continuing impact, how Miami pulled away in the fourth, and ask, is it time for a change to the starting lineup? All that and more on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily podcast on the Miami Heat. I'm Wes Goldberg here with David Ramil, however you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or your favorite podcast app. Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. A Saturday afternoon edition for you, recording this after the Heat beat the Bucks 111-95. And just like Thursday, no Giannis or Chris Middleton for Milwaukee. Miami without Kyle Lowry and Tyler Hero again. But a quick look at how this one went down. The Heat got out to a 28-20 lead after the first quarter, and then took a 15-point lead in the second, but the Bucks cut the lead to one halfway through the third quarter. Then the Heat pulled away again, led by 11 points from Victor Oladipo and 14 points from Bam Adebayo in the fourth quarter to help the Heat take their largest lead of the game at 20. Bam and Oladipo combining to score 16 of Miami's final 18 points, both of them finishing with 20 points in the game. Gabe Vincent had 27. The Heat have now won 12 of their last 17 games. David, got to be impressed by what we've seen from the Heat lately.
Absolutely. I think what stood out to me in tonight's game, or today's game, I should say, not used to that, is just that the fact that Jimmy Butler didn't have to play a single second in the fourth quarter, that it was Miami's depth that continues to have a significant improvement. Just Gabe Vincent, of course, having a 1 point shy of his career night that he set just the other day. Victor Oladipo coming up big. Bam having those moments late in the game. Guys like Haywood Highsmith stepping up, playing incredible defense. Jamal Cain providing some nice activity late in the game there. He was a big part of that third quarter, fourth quarter push when Miami was able to pull away from the Bucks and establish a lead and continue to build on it. So that was really, for me, the story of the game. But just overall, Miami seems to be finding much more comfortable rhythm. They're healthier. They're going to get Kyle Lowry and Tyler Hero back at some point soon. And once they do return, this could be the best version of the Miami Heat that we've seen all season.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was an impressive win over Milwaukee, no doubt about it. These last two ones have been, but it's worth repeating again, they were without Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's obviously their best player, might be the best player in the NBA. And so they took care of business, and that's, I tweeted this in the first quarter, and I feel the same way now after the game. This was a business-like win for the Miami Heat, right? Like, this was just one where you just couldn't screw around, and they didn't. You know, the Bucks made their last run in the third quarter there, yep. And Miami just didn't, they let it get to 1 point, but they didn't give up the lead, and then they went on a push after that and ended up getting the win there, so.
But these are the games they would have blown in the past. You right. know, when you're going up against a second team, or maybe, you know, backups and things of that sort, maybe you're not playing them with the same level, the same intensity, and they just took care of business, to your point.
The last 17 games, they've won 12 of those games. I don't want to do it, but I kind of have to do it. I kind of have to, like, turd in the punch bowl here a little bit. Just looking at the schedule, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to follow that up with a big butt, okay? But right. just let me do the bad part first, okay? So these last 12 wins, you beat Oklahoma City twice. You beat Houston, you beat the Spurs, and you beat Minnesota, all bad teams. You played the Lakers twice without LeBron James in any of those contests. You beat the Clippers without Kawhi. You needed a buzzer beater in Utah to beat the Jazz. You played a Phoenix Suns team that was missing all of their good players. You get two wins against the Giannis-less Milwaukee Bucks. So the schedule has been favorable for Miami, so that's worth repeating. The losses were against Chicago, Denver, and Brooklyn, the four best teams during that stretch. You lost to all four of them. That said, they won the games that they had to win. To your point, these are a lot of games that they were losing earlier in the season. They were without a lot of their guys for big stretches of that of that stretch. And then during those 17 games, the Heat have the seventh best point differential in the NBA, outscoring teams by an average 3.5 points, which would be one of the best point differentials on balance for the season. And their shooting is starting to trend in a better direction. Just tonight, by the way, worth mentioning that they made 50% of their threes, 11 of 22 from 3-point range, 51.7% overall from the field. So Have they taken an advantage of a soft schedule and some injuries to opponents? Yes, they have. But they are playing better. They're winning games that they didn't before. And this is also not a team that was among the top teams in the league. They were below 500 and things like this. How do you get over to 500? They're four games over 500 for the first time all season. This is the best they've looked all season. How do you do that? You take care of business. You beat the teams that are in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I have no concerns about the schedule. I know it seems that way, but you're supposed to take advantage of these games. And look, with as much parity as there has been around the league this year, it doesn't really matter. A win is a win. It's a quality win. They played Brooklyn well. They played the Lakers well. LeBron James was in one of those contests, and he played a heck of a game that night, though. But otherwise, though, I still think they've been competitive. They were competitive against the Nuggets. They're trying their best, considering the injuries, the changing lineups, the fact that players have been in and out of games, even dealing with some internal turmoil with Dwayne Dedmon getting suspended for one game and things of that sort. So they've handled these things. They continue to, I guess I keep coming back to them finding their identity, weathering the storm of these early injuries, and just continuing to improve, show incremental growth throughout the course of the season. I'm taking all of this as positive steps, to be 100% honest.
I want to go, you said something interesting before where it feels like the depth is starting to round into form. Given that the Heat were able to do this, gave Vincent 27 points, tying his previous career high. His career high now is 28 points. He scored that the last time the team played the Bucks on Thursday night. So are you seeing sort of how these guys have played during these absences? You're kind of like projecting forward when everybody gets back. You're bullish on what the bench is going to look like?
Absolutely. I think there's going to be some adjustment process there, as there always is. Gabe's minutes are going to get cut once Lowry returns to the lineup. I think that's something we'll talk about a little bit later. But you're going to see Victor Oladipo playing a different role again with Lowry returning to the lineup. But at the same time, this confidence, the comfort level, the rhythm that these players are getting into, it all bodes well. It all will mesh. I think it's all going to be a positive factor. We've seen it before. When guys step up, it reminds me a lot of like the best parts of last season when you had guys in and out of the lineup and you had these role players stepping up unexpectedly. Guys like Vincent, guys like Strus, others stepping up. That's what we're seeing now. And I think Victor Oladipo continues to show incredible progress. His fourth quarter, look, he started off really shaky in the first. I think it was an early start. Maybe that played a factor. But as the game went on, he just looked so much more decisive, precise in what he was trying to do, working the two-man game with Bam Adebayo to perfection, dumping those passes to him for two incredible dunks in the fourth quarter.
I mentioned before, I forgot what the numbers are already. It was 14 or 16 of their final 18 points in the game came from Victor Oladipo and Bam Adebayo. What I didn't mention was the points that Victor Oladipo wasn't scoring, that Bam was scoring, Victor Oladipo was assisting Bam, and vice versa. Bam was finding Vic, too.
Yep.
They just, that two-man game is what carried Miami in those final few minutes, and it was Gabe Vincent who basically carried Miami through the first two and a half quarters, and was a big part of their offense. Let's just get right into credit cookies here then.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So I think it's pretty clear that we have to give some credit cookies to Gabe, to Bam, to Vic, and we'll hold off on the surprise one there. We'll give you a surprise one after that. But Gabe Vincent, Bam Adebayo, Victor Oladipo. Let's just talk about Gabe Vincent a little bit more. 27 points tonight, 11 of 14 overall, 5 of 8 from three-point range, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, had 5 steals in the game, just 2 turnovers.
Incredible game from him.
He has been so, over the last two games, he's just got the Milwaukee Bucks number, whatever, I know, no Chris Middleton, no Giannis, I don't care. Gabe Vincent looks awesome. The injuries that had hindered him earlier in the season, he said it after the game tonight when asked about it, he feels good. You look at him on the court, you're not getting the sense that he's as hobbled as he once was. I'm not saying that Gabe is going to be going out scoring 28, 27 points every single night, but if he can give you this kind of scoring in pockets throughout games, throughout the season, that's going to change a lot of what Miami's rotation looks like, what their bench looks like. We'll get to the Victor Oladipo thing and his emergence also, which has been a continued story over the last week and a half or 2 weeks or so. But Gabe Vincent specifically, with him playing like this, that changes a lot of things.
Not that long ago when Miami's bench was the absolute worst in the league. Like, they weren't getting any kind of production from anybody, and you were hoping that maybe Duncan Robinson would go in there and provide a spurt of offense. They have been getting so much more from so many other different players. And look, Vincent started tonight. he kind of dismissed the fact that his production, 56 points over the last two games, as just being in some sort of rhythm. I don't know. I don't know if there was anything specific there. Again, he was being guarded by Javon Carter, Drew Holiday, who is an excellent defender, and he was able to take both of them, take advantage of them, getting up great shots. Like he hit his first shot in the first quarter, and he looked like he was in discomfort zone right there. I wrote down in my notes, he's feeling it, because he absolutely was. 21 of his 27 points in the first half, and then late in the game, stepping up with a couple big baskets here and there. The offense kind of went away from him in the third quarter as Jimmy tried to dominate a little bit and get his points up. And then once Gabe came back in the fourth quarter, he was a positive factor. Again, playing alongside Bam.
And then it was the Bam and Vic show at that point.
That's right.
Which is fine.
That's right.
Good with that.
That's right.
The thing that really surprised me and impressed me about Gabe Vincent, this was last year, a lot of his points would come off of catch and shoot, off the ball kind of stuff like that. Jimmy driving, Bam driving, Tyler driving, Kyle driving, and then just kicking out to Gabe. Tonight, that wasn't the case. Obviously, no Kyle Lowry or Tyler Hero to create open looks for him. But also, he was just doing it from everywhere. Pull-up jumpers in the mid-range. Stop and pops for three-pointers in transition. Steals and scores. Getting to the basket. Fadeaways. Falling away three-pointer from the corner at one point in the game. I mean, he was doing it from all the different spots on the court. And I asked Spo about this after the game. And when they first brought in Gabe Vincent, they brought him in. Gabe coming into their program was a two-guard, a scoring guard.
Yeah, I remember. I was there for his first ever practice, and I remember the hype about him was that he was this great three-point shooter, and then, of course, he didn't wind up hitting a three-pointer for the next year and a half, right. It seemed. Yeah.
And so Miami started pushing his development towards being a one, sort of an on-the-ball offensive guy who can create shots for people, facilitate offense, and then be on the ball defensively at the point of attack. He's obviously doing that at the point of attack.
For sure.
Five steals tonight, but it feels like he's starting to go more towards that off-ball stuff, that scoring thing. And by the way, I think the Heat need that.
Yeah.
In that second unit, he has great chemistry with Victor Oladipo. Vic is more of the on-ball guy, running pick and roll with Bam.
Yep.
And Gabe's sort of finding his spots on the floor. I like the balance. And going back to your earlier point, what we're starting to see this bench round out into, this second unit, is turning into something. If it's Gabe Vincent, Victor Oladipo sort of anchoring that second unit in the backcourt, that's a real identity that this bench did not have in the past. Is this going to continue to be the bench? I don't know. We'll talk about that here in a second when we get to our listener questions. In terms of cookies for Gabe Vincent, by the way, do you have a specific kind of cookie that we should give out on a Saturday afternoon? What's a good Saturday cookie?
Oh, like a tea cookie or something like
Ooh, yeah, okay. So we're like crumpets or something? Is that what they call them?
Yes.
Some tea crumpets. All right, crumpets. Three crumpets for Gabe. Three?
Three crumpets. Three,
six. Yeah, that works. We're going to give three to Bam. We're going to give three to Vic.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
That gives us one left over. Anything we want to say more about Victor Oladipo and Gabe Vincent, by the way, going back to that two-man game, eight steals between them.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that chemistry, too, because I was a little surprised to see even when Gabe Vincent was there in the game, they were giving the ball to Oladipo to have him bring it up and kind of set the offense into place, and then letting Gabe kind of run off screen, find his footing or get to his place wherever he wanted to be, and then Oladipo doing a good job of either driving to the rim and kicking it out to a wide open Gabe Vincent or something along those lines. But it was incredible to see that kind of chemistry there between those two. It's an undersized backcourt.
It is.
But at the same time, it works. At least it worked tonight. And again, it gets good defensive players.
Vic's big and strong. And Gabe's stronger than, pound for pound. He's probably one of the stronger guys on the Heat.
He can handle himself defensively.
Yeah.
But offensively, I worried about them being able to get their shots off because they're somewhat undersized. But Oladipo, quick enough, he's got that burst.
Both of them have their burst, right? With Gabe, Gabe's not as bursty as
his timing has been really good, though, Vincent. Like he's just
crafty.
Yes, he is. He puts the ball down, he swings it, he waits for that kind of one little split second seam in a defender to either put their hand down and he's gone, and he gets to the basket and he puts up that nice floater he's been working on since he joined the team's development
program. Hit a bunch of floaters tonight against Milwaukee's drop coverage. I mean, I like Spo calling Tyler Hero, who didn't play tonight, the drop killer.
Yeah.
But then going so far as to say, everybody's been able to find their spots against the drop, whether it's Bam, who's really developed in that regard, especially this season, Gabe Vincent showing flashes of that tonight and on Thursday against Milwaukee. Here's my theory about why it is that Vic and Gabe work so well together, though, because you would think, all right, well, you're kind of pushing Gabe towards being an on-ball guy offensively. Vic, obviously, former All-NBA, All-Star guy, wants to prove that he could still be a top-level scorer in the NBA. He's going to want the ball in his hands.
Yep.
If anything, they should clash, right? That should not work, theoretically. But I think it works because Vic wants to be that guy. I don't think Gabe does want to be that guy. I think Gabe likes kind of being the shooting guard where Vic wants to control the ball on offense. And I think Gabe almost relishes in the let Vic run stuff and then I can tack the weak side. I could tack off the, you know, off a bent defense and do all that kind of stuff. So I think Victor Oladipo, we've said this time and time again, when he is playing like this, and he has been playing like this for a while now. I mean, he is not fully back, but he's as good as he has been in a Miami Heat uniform.
Oh, without a doubt.
When he's like this, everything else clicks into place. Max Strus doesn't have to do stuff like a six man. He could just be off the ball, scoring, driving against bent, rotating defenses. Gabe Vincent ditto, can attack a rotating defense. Vic is good enough in just a straight pick and roll, which we saw in the stretch run of this game with Bam Adebayo. You just put them in a pick and roll. It's not Tyler Hero Bam-esque yet because they have so much chemistry, but it's a lot better than I thought it would be at this point in sort of their relationship. So that's been huge.
I'm glad that you brought that up. Look, we're so convinced or brainwashed or programmed, rather, that's the right word, I think, to think of players in certain positions. And Oladipo earlier in his career in Orlando kind of stuck because he's somewhat of a tweener, a little bit undersized. They're playing him at the point guard. He wasn't quite ready for that role. And in Indiana, he had the ball in his hands. He was the one who was initiating offense, dumping it off to different players, spraying it out to the players on the perimeter. And that's where he's most effective.
Orlando try him at point guard at the beginning of his career too?
Yeah, absolutely. Similar to what happened with Dwayne Wade. They weren't quite sure what to do with him, and they've just kind of followed that same pattern throughout their career.
Let's talk about Bam Adebayo then also, because we mentioned the fourth quarter there, 14 points for him in the fourth quarter, 20 points overall, 9 of 19 for the game, 13 rebounds, Miami with a 51-32 rebounding edge. I think I said that would not happen again. I also thought that Giannis would be part of this game. Yeah. But they just out-rebounded Milwaukee by like 40 rebounds in this little baseball series that they put together. Bam Adebayo was great. I don't know what else to say about it other than the fact that defensively he was everywhere he needed to be. He only had to play 31 minutes tonight because Orlando Robinson was so big off the bench.
Yep.
But let's get to our final credit cookie here. Orlando Robinson deserves a shout out. I'm not ready to give him a cookie quite yet.
No, he was fine. He was tough out there. Like you pointed it out that he held his own as far as his footing and things of that sort. He wasn't backing down from Brook Lopez.
Wasn't getting moved off his spot. Had some really big rebounds down the stretch.
Got into it with Joe Ingles too. So I thought that was a little interesting. I thought there was going to be a little kerfuffle there at some point between those two. Ingles, you know, a noted kind of instigator of things. I thought there was going to be a little bit of a fight there. It turned out that Orlando was able to keep his composure, be effective in his limited minutes. And that's all you really need. And getting the nod over Dwayne Dedmon, who was not suspended and active tonight.
Yep. DNPCD for Dwayne Dedmon. Orlando Robinson now. It's been a few games in a row. Obviously, Dedmon was suspended for one of them. But it's been a few games in a row now that Orlando Robinson is getting these minutes over Dwayne Dedmon. I think it's safe to say that Orlando Robinson is Miami's backup center. I don't see a reason why they would move Dwayne Dedmon back into that second unit at this point, other than maybe just trying to manage whatever two-way days Orlando Robinson has left. But I think the writing's on the wall about what the Heat are going to try to do here. It feels like they're going to try to shop Dwayne Dedmon. I don't think that that's much of a secret at this point. Try to move off of him, create the roster spot and the salary cap space that they need in order to promote Orlando Robinson to the 15-man.
Certainly possible. Dedmon speaking roster after the game in the locker room, saying there was clarity now about his situation and just frustrated over playing time and wanting to win. Kind of canned answers, but at the same time, you can tell that there's some frustration there. I'm sure there's frustration from all parties involved.
Not from Orlando Robinson. 17 minutes from him, 4 points, 8 rebounds. And look, he was a -2 tonight, but that was because he came in late. During garbage time, you take garbage time out of it. He was, like, I think for most of the game, just a zero on the plus-minus sheet. And you're like, oh, what's the big deal? The big deal is that before Orlando Robinson, the backup center wasn't a zero. The backup center was like a -6, a -8, a -11 almost every single night.
Right.
That was a drag on Miami's differential every single night. It was a sinkhole for the Heat when Bam Adebayo would come out of the game. And that's why Bam basically had the best point differential on the team. The best on-off numbers on the team was partly because Bam has been Miami's most consistently best player all season, but also because of the backup situation, kind of like a Nikola Jokic situation in Denver where they can never find an answer for the backup center spot. That was sort of the case for Miami. Orlando Robinson locked it down tonight, and you hope that he can continue to do that.
And still,
as much as we talk about him, we
still not getting a cookie, though.
Haywood Highsmith is getting our 10th and final credit cookie. The stats are fine. 8 points, 3 of 4 shooting, made both of his 3-point shots, 7 rebounds.
Yeah, the stat
assists.
Line doesn't reflect his impact.
It does not.
Look, we talked about this in the preseason. And again, it's a preseason. You're not sure what you're going to get out of a player consistently. But his level of activity – on closeouts, doing little things, just especially in the zone. He's so good at holding down the middle, protecting the paint, and then closing out to a perimeter shooter. Really, really, really effective. Again, it might not result in a turnover, might not result in a steal, but he's just doing a little bit of everything, bringing the ball up, helping initiate offense. I talked to him after the game. He says he likes to bring a playmaking element that wasn't there from the position last year, bringing his own version of PJ Tucker, but a little bit different in his own inimitable style. So I like that he has that kind of confidence to compare himself to a noted veteran like PJ, and at the same time saying, just like Caleb Martin, I'm doing my own thing. I'm bringing my own flash to it. And he was great. 26 minutes tonight, really, really effective as a starter. I'm not sure if that's something that's sustainable, but at the same time, he's making a positive impact and has for a few games.
He reminds me of like what Najee Marshall is for the New Orleans Pelicans. Just a guy that can walk in, play a couple different spots for you. It's not going to be a big drag on your overall performance, what the team wants to do. He just fits in. He just does what he needs to do.
Right.
I'm glad you brought up the PJ Tucker thing again, because he's been on our show a couple times and has said it every time. He's like, he wants to be basically PJ Tucker. Makes sense. He's 6'6 to 6'8, depending on where you look.
6'5.
He's got really, really long arms that he uses a lot, sometimes to his detriment. Tonight, not so bad. Only two fouls in 26 minutes, so not bad.
No, yeah.
What really stands out to me is just how involved he is in the dribble handoff stuff. Playmaking, you hear what you said, playmaking. That's not him running pick and roll. He's not doing that. When he's talking about playmaking, he's talking about, hey, let me get the ball in the corner, flare up, get into, on the same side of a shooter like Strus or Gabe Vincent, flow right into a dribble handoff, and he's so good at it. And you just feel like, okay, if you're 6'5 or taller on the Miami Heat, they're going to just teach you how to do the dribble handoff thing. Like that's just going to be part of your pre-practice diet at this point. So Highsmith was awesome. Let's get to some of our listener questions. This one comes from Mark. Of course, you can always send in these questions. Reach out to us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat and use that hashtag AskLOHeat. You can email us, LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. This one comes from Mark. Does it say something that the Heat are playing their best basketball of the year without Kyle Lowry or Dwayne Dedman? It seems like the odd men out, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's just kind of a lot of different things playing at the same time. The fact that Lowry is out, I can't say that he's to blame for Miami's struggles early on, because I think he was mostly effective in his role, even if he wasn't as productive as the Heat coaching staff and Heat fans would like him to be. It's also, I think, a byproduct of players getting healthy. Again, we're seeing Gabe Vincent playing his best basketball of the season, maybe even the best of his career at the NBA level. And given that, I think that you can't just dismiss that kind of production and say it's because Lowry and Dedman haven't been playing much. You know, you're getting impacts from Haywood Highsmith. You're getting impact, again, from the center position, Orlando Robinson. I think, if anything, maybe that's more reflective of Dedman not playing as much because, as you pointed out, his injury, the fact that he's been somewhat slow, that he's been somewhat sluggish all season long, was a detriment, a negative in the differential, point differential there. So I think that's certainly an effect there. But otherwise, I can't say that. I think it's more a byproduct of players on the bench playing well, finding their roles, being healthy at just the right time, rather than just saying Lowry and Dedman are in the lineup.
They're 6-4 during this stretch when Kyle Lowry has played this 12-5 stretch over the last 17 games. So it's not as if they are winning without Kyle Lowry and only without Kyle Lowry.
Right.
They're winning when Kyle Lowry is also part of this program. So
right.
He's only missed the last couple games. Third straight game he's missed, and then he missed four previous ones during this span. But again, in the games that he's played, the Heat have mostly won those games at roughly the same rate. So, look, to go to the question, does it say something? In terms of Dedman, yeah, it does. Orlando Robinson is better than Dwayne Dedman. He's the backup center, ostensibly, at this point. So, yes. But in terms of the Kyle Lowry question, does it say something? I don't know. I don't really know if it says something. I'll say this.
His role is different.
His role is right now in flux. I think when Kyle Lowry returns, that's a question about not necessarily whether or not he's going to start or whatever. Let's just get to the next one. Kevin writes in, start Victor Oladipo and bench Kyle Lowry or no?
Okay. Well, I think it's pretty obvious that Lowry's not going to come to the bench. He's too proven a veteran. I don't think he's going to accept that role. He wouldn't be happy. I think he would rather not play at all than come off the bench.
Well, that's my thing. Is if Kyle Lowry loses his starting spot, it's not because it's not on the Miami Heat. It's not going to be because he is now coming off the bench. It's going to be because he's no longer on the team.
Right.
That's what I think. That is not me saying that he's not going to be on the team.
You're not reporting it.
If it happens where Kyle Lowry is no longer part of the starting five, that's going to be why it happens. Also, in terms of starting Victor Oladipo, I think Eric Spoelstra has been pretty reluctant to do that. They have outlined a very clear and defined role for Victor Oladipo. And let's remember, last year, at the end, Victor Oladipo's biggest frustration was what? That he did not have a clear and defined role. He has not been shy about the fact that he wants to be a starter. He views himself as a starter.
Yep.
That's fine. He should say that. There's no reason why he shouldn't say that. It also hasn't mattered necessarily in terms of his approach, in terms of his buy-in to what it is that his team and the Miami Heat are doing, in terms of his buy-in to trying to contribute to winning basketball. That is not impact. He wants to be a starter, and that's okay. It's just like Tyler Herro wanting to be a starter last year, and what did he do? He went out and won Sixth Man of the Year. Victor Oladipo keeps playing like this, by the way. He could be in the running for Sixth Man
absolutely
of the Year. Absolutely. So I think there's two parts to this is, okay, do you want more production out of Kyle Lowry? Do you need to figure out how it is that he works with the starting lineup? And in general, yeah, you do. But you've also really worked this out where you have now a clear and defined role for Victor Oladipo that he is thriving in. And I don't see a reason, just because you're playing really well. I say this all the time, Miami Heat, this is why you can't have nice things sometimes. Things are going well and you're like, well, let's just change it and do more of this. Just let it be good. They've won 12 of the last 17 games. Victor Oladipo has come off the bench for every single one of those.
You could argue he was the most impactful player tonight, and he came off the bench. He led the fourth quarter comeback. Jimmy Butler didn't have to play because Oladipo was so effective. And that's I think that's pretty clear. I think, again, it doesn't matter. Star in your role. We've heard that before. Somewhat cliche, but it's very, very effective in saying, you know what? If I'm coming off the bench, I'm going to be great off the bench. If I'm starting, then let me thrive as a starter. It doesn't really matter to your point, and I agree 100%. Look, we've seen production from Gabe Vincent, production from Victor Oladipo at the ostensible point guard or point guard-ish type position. Can we expect that level of productivity from Kyle Lowry? Is that what the hope is for him once he does return to help?
I think he just needs to make shots. He's shooting around 30% now. It's been actually 28% on threes during this stretch when he has been available, so that's not been great, but... I think when I talk about production, I mean just making shots.
Sure.
At this point, it's pretty clear that the Miami Heat are going to lean further and further into pick and roll with Bam Adebayo. The Heat are one of the best pick and roll teams in the NBA. They are super efficient when it's Tyler Herro and Bam running the pick and roll. We're starting to see, like we were just talking about, Victor Oladipo develop that chemistry with Bam Adebayo. That was on display tonight to close the game. That seems to be where the offense is headed. And then, obviously, the Jimmy Butler stuff here and there, you work that in. I don't know where Kyle Lowry fits into that. Hmm. It's not been smooth. The way to make it smooth real quick is for him to start making shots.
Yeah.
And by the way, the hit-ahead passes, all that stuff, like that could still be there. He could still take the ball out of bounds and find those little and create those 4 to 6 points that he usually does. And then you add that to maybe starting to make some of those shots. And that's a really valuable player in what it is that the Miami Heat are already doing. The big question is whether or not he can make those shots and whether or not he wants to play that kind of role. And that's why I say that position is in flux. You mentioned closing before, and that's our next question. This one comes from TZA Mac. Victor Oladipo should always definitely be in the closing lineup with Bam and Jimmy. Who should be the other two closers if everybody is healthy? So it's Victor Oladipo, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler. Victor Oladipo, if he's not starting games, if he's playing like this, he will be closing games, especially if he's playing defensively the way he is, on the ball, creating turnovers in the clutch. Those are really, really important kind of plays. Steal, obviously, equals a stop, and then you create easy offense, which has been Miami's problem, is creating more opportunities for easy offense. So if he's doing that, he's invaluable. You pair him with Bam and Jimmy, obviously, you put them in pen to close games. Jimmy Butler, by the way, 26.5 minutes tonight, where he did not have to close because it was a blowout, but...
Who's the fourth and fifth player there?
Tyler Herro has to be a part of it. His clutch shot making, you have to have that. Plus the spacing next to Victor, Bam, and Jimmy. You need Tyler Herro there.
Right. Yeah, I know. Absolutely. I agree. And I think the fifth player is still Kyle Lowry at this point. I think Heat fans might not agree. I know that kind of puts Caleb Martin out of that closing lineup. But either way, right now, I think they're going with Lowry. And they're going to continue to go with him unless he is traded or reduced his role, which will eventually lead to a trade.
Caleb Martin's dealing with a quad injury here. So he is... sort of been hobbled even before he was missing games with the quad injury.
He was active tonight. Listed as active,
yeah,
but did not play. It was very, very weird.
He sort of a late scratch. Kind of, they were kind of going into it, trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But obviously that shows progress, and that he should be back sooner rather than later.
Yes.
But even when he does come back, you want him to be fully healthy. I'd say just let him rest as long as possible because, like I said, when he was just trying to play through this, he wasn't playing all that well. Like the shot wasn't going in. He wasn't getting the same arc on the jumper, things like that. So. The other option would be Max Strus, but he hasn't been like awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's – like, Max Strus is – you know, he went 2 of 7 tonight from three-point range, made some shots, scored 10 points. He's been okay. He's been better recently, I should say that, but I don't know that he's done so much where you're thinking about him in terms of being in the closing lineup. Yeah. So I think it's still Kyle Lowry. And you know what? That's a pretty good switch everything closing lineup. Tyler Hero, maybe the one sort of weak point that an opponent can sort of poke at, but he's been so much better defensively in that regard this year that it's not like what it was in the playoffs and in the regular season last season either. So that's to me what the closing lineup probably looks like right now. All right, that'll do it for today's show. Thanks to everybody who sent in questions. Thanks to everybody who tuned in here on a weekend. The Miami Heat improving to 24-20, four games over 500. Two wins against the Milwaukee Bucks. These, by the way, these could be big wins in terms of playoff positioning, possibly, absolutely, depending on where it is that Milwaukee falls. Milwaukee's down to 27-16, and they haven't been awesome since their 9-0 start. So this could end up coming into play, but you know, a lot of season to be played still. Thanks again for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. Now make your second listen. Game to game NBA, every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on the Locked On NBA feed, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back here after Monday's game, Martin Luther King Day, Monday in Atlanta. We'll be back with another show after that. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining me, David.
Absolutely.